Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Hey parents, we are so glad that you're with us again today for another episode of The Wonder of Parenting, where Dr. Michael Green and I take a deep dive with you into parenting, and to do so by starting with the brain and how the brain works and how we're wired, and then taking it out to different things that we can do to apply that to our parenting. And Michael, as always, it's great to have you with us today.
Oh, thanks, Tim. Great to talk to you.
We're going to talk today about one of the most important keys to building a thriving family, and I'll begin with just a sort of a personal story. When I was a kid, back in the last half of the last century, so that was a long time ago, this was before color TV and before cell phones and internet and iPads, we had this thing that we did almost every night called the family dinner. And every night, all seven of us, so I had five siblings and two parents, and then sometimes we'd have people living with us, we would sit down and actually eat a meal together, and we had no distractions at all. No cell phones, of course, TV wasn't on. And so at our family meals, we had one of two options. We could talk to each other, or we could sit in silence. Now, my family, they were all great conversationalists, and we would have six or seven conversations going on at one time and moved in and out of all of them. But that family meal, which was almost a nightly ritual for us, has, for a lot of families in the 21st century, become a lost art. It almost seems like a relic from the old days, because so many families today, for a lot of really good reasons, are really busy. And, I hear from young families today that family meals take place in the car, courtesy of drive-through food, and they're eating on the way from this event to that event. And there's little connection time taking place now as families are overly programmed, overly busy. And yet, all the research tells us that this family meal time, sitting down without distractions and connecting with each other, is one of the most important keys to building a healthy family. And so today, Michael, I want to chat with you about the power of the family dinner and some ways that maybe parents and families can set aside time, important time, to be together. Did you have family dinners when you were a kid?
Yeah. You and I, of course, are the same age. And so 60 years old. I was born 1958. And definitely through the 60s and early 70s, it was highly valued. We weren't there every night. There were activities, but I would say the majority of the week were family dinners, and a lot would happen. I mean, there was just so much. There were a lot of current events, debate stuff would happen. That was big in our family. And also, my parents were academics, and they were very involved in the peace movement, so there was a lot going on with our family talking about what was going on in Vietnam and how do we support the troops, but at the same time, we don't like, the war. And, those are distinctions that got made at those family dinners, which were intellectual distinctions, but also helped set our sort of our purpose as young people, our sense of service and that. And then also our family was around us. So we just sort of knew our family was around us, because we were spending that time together. And like your family, as you can see, a lot of conversation.
Now, what I want to do today is talk about really two different kinds of family dinners. Let me just give folks a little bit of some research that's been done on why family dinners are so important. And I think intuitively we know these things, but sometimes it's helpful for us because we're so busy today to hear, again, why family dinners are so important as maybe a little bit of a kick in the pants to say we've got to set aside some time to do this. So we know from research, for example, that family dinners help promote language skills. And just the chance to sit and be verbal together is really important. And in some upcoming podcasts, we're going to talk about screen time and some of the negative impact that too much screen time is having on verbal skills. But the family dinner is a great place for kids just to learn to talk and have conversation. There's some research that says that a family meal can protect particularly our children from depression and drug use. Most of the time, not always, but most of the time, it can strengthen family bonds. And then this was really interesting to me, and this comes from your friend Warren Farrell. There's a research that was done, and it says those who eat a family meal without distractions less than three times a week have children who report their children are twice as likely to report C's in school. But if a family eats a meal without distractions five to seven times a week, the children are more likely to report A's and B's. And so there's a lot of benefit that comes from a family meal. So the first kind of family meal I'm just going to mention, because I want to dig deeper with you into this second kind of family meal, a more ritualized meal. The first kind of family meal is just the free-for-all. It's just being together and enjoying each other. Whether you're having a barbecue outside or you're sitting indoors, it may seem like almost mindless conversation, but there's real power, isn't there, Michael, just in being together and talking?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The being together and very important not to have devices, because when we're talking about family dinner, we're talking about family dinner without devices.
Right.
Right. Because that's a really, really big distinction. That 1 hour or 45 minutes or however long it takes, it is about each other. And that's a primary reason that the research shows less potential for depression and anxiety among kids who have a number of family dinners, because they're bonding, they're connecting, they're getting feedback, they're being loved. I mean, we can't say enough that they're being loved. So the attachment is occurring. And it's the same reason that lessees, they're bonding, they're attaching, they're being asked, how are your grades going? So there's accountability,
right,
that can happen at a family dinner that may not happen the rest of the day. I think all the research is absolutely correct, and it fits really well with the brain development of children. They really, really need that time from their primary attachment figures.
And by the way, just to say it, for those couples who are married, the mom and dad time alone meal is really important as well. Sometimes we need to recharge our batteries in order to really have the time for our kids. So I know for me and Jan, a piece of advice we were given when I started my ministry 34 years ago was make sure you have at least once a week where you go out and it's just you time and you have a meal together and get your relationship strong so you can build a stronger relationship with your kids.
Yeah, that's really crucial. As we were raising our kids, Gail and I did one date night, if possible. If I wasn't on the road, we would do one date night a week, and the kids' godmother, Pam, would watch the kids, and it was ritualized in. And that actually gave Pam, the godmother, and the kids their own family time, while Gail and I had our couple time. So it that's another thing about organizing those things. If some of the family dinners are not necessarily mom and dad, you know, or the two partners, they could be other people who are extended family. And those are also incredibly valuable attachments.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
So the second type of family dinner, and this is where I want to spend a little bit of our time together, is a more intentional set aside time that has a certain ritual about it. There are the free for all meals where you just sit down, you're all having a meal together, and the conversation goes wherever it goes. But there is some research that says there's real value in once or twice a week setting aside a family meal time without the distractions to talk about important things together. And I know that in your family, when your kids were growing up, and you may not have necessarily ritualized this in once or twice a week, but because you were raised in this environment yourself in part, that you would have some really good, important discussions with your family, with your daughters in particular, that allowed for the expression of opinions, the disagreement of opinions, and that intentionality of certain topics had several benefits to it. So talk a little bit about your family dinner night, and let's talk a bit about, we'll expand on that a little bit later on why that's important and what topics to talk about. But what are some of the benefits of that kind of a meal that's very intentional and a guided discussion?
Yeah, it's neat because, you know, the kids and the parents come to expect it. So like, okay, we're going to talk about that at dinner. You know, something happens during the day, or it happened this morning or yesterday or something. And tomorrow night, we're going to all be together. We're going to talk about that at dinner. Or tonight, let's talk about that at dinner. And it brings this powerful topic, you know, into the family dinner. And in our family, it sort of would go in two very broad categories. One category would be research or culture or what the kids are learning, what I'm learning, what Gail's learning that we bring to share with our kids and maybe have debates about, you know, so that could be from the news. It could be from the research I'm doing for a book. It could be research Gail was doing. That's one area. Then another area was child development, like certain topics that would, like always, you know, kids have certain topics in their minds, right? Based on their socialization at school, their schoolwork, their friends, dramas, love, you know, and those topics we would ritualize into family dinner. Okay, let's talk about that at family dinner. And it didn't mean we always knew ahead of time, but if something was coming up, the kids always knew there was this trusted, safe place to bring those things up in their lives. And then we as parents always knew there was this place where we could always be creating topics to debate with our kids, and certain nights were going to be set aside for that. So that's how it kind of worked in our family.
And when you would have those discussions, I'm guessing, knowing what I know about your family, that there probably were some good, honest, even fierce disagreements, and that's healthy. That's good. So what role does that kind of conversation, when you're debating topics, how does that help us as parents and as our families to grow?
Well, yeah, that can kind of capture this flow of child development in this, you know, half hour or hour of a family, because if it there can be debate, there was a lot of debate in our family, so there's debate, and then you have all of that intensity and passion and purpose, you know, and even sense of calling that comes through when you're debating your point of view, right? Whether you're child or adult, and all that's coming through. So that's washing through the brain. It's really great. Helps the self to define what I believe, helps my child to define what she believes, what he believes. And then it gets, and then no, I don't, you know, that doesn't make sense to me, someone debates. And then you got to respond to that. And so then that brings up feelings, obviously, all that resilience we've talked about. You know, I got to have some resilience. And I also have to have facts. I have to have proof. I got to be able to make my case in a way that not only will impress my family, let's say, but is going to be the way it is done in society. You know, I'm going to be a stronger adult for this because I'm going to know how to put together a case in the future. And then when mistakes are made, that's also part of the journey of a family dinner and part of the value of a family dinner, because mistakes will get made. Someone gets too hot under the collar, you know, says something snide to the adult or the child, or, you know, as will always happen in families, and then hurts someone's feelings. And then, okay, then that has to be dealt with. And sometimes, you know, it can't be dealt with at that family dinner, right? It's just too emotional. But our rule was always, you know, we need to talk before bedtime and resolve things. So then that creates more and more actually good emotion and more emotional depth. And then, so maybe everyone cools off and then it's 8 p.m. And then the two parties who got too hot under the collar are talking and resolving that and apologizing. And all of that happens because of that family dinner.
So what I hear, and to put it in my own language, part of what's happening in that kind of an intentional family dinner where topics are discussed and are even argued, there are disagreements, is that kind of a family meal serves as, in a sense, leadership training. We're training our children, or citizenship training. We're training our children to learn how to articulate their own beliefs, to listen to the beliefs of others, and then to engage in dialogue, even if it's heated, but to learn how to not do it personally. And then to be able to walk away even when we disagree and still love each other and care for each other, which is contrary to anything that we see in our culture right now.
Yeah, I absolutely think that part of why we're seeing this, we're seeing a number of elements right now. We have to see the complete polarization, the complete tribalism, you're wrong, I'm right, you know. And then we also see a lack of facts, people just making their case by saying, I feel bad, so you harmed me, or I don't really need facts because I'm right. You know, I think all of those things, if everyone had family dinners, I think it would be much harder for our society to practice those three errors, what I think of as citizenship errors, because the family dinners for, you know, 15 or 20 years, however long the kids are there, those family dinners would have hopefully required of kids to come to the middle, to compromise. It would have required them to apologize, and the parents to apologize, you know, when they've hurt feelings. It would have required resilience so that we can't say, oh, you made me feel bad, so I'm going to sue you. You know, I mean, all of this stuff that's going on in our culture, I could be wrong, but I have a feeling if we had 20 years of family dinners, we might have a little better citizenship in our culture.
I did a sermon on family dinners in our church, and I used your family as an example, and then some things I'm going to talk about here in a moment. And I made that same point. I said, imagine if every family had a dinner like that at least once a week, where we learned how to argue our point, listen to others, assimilate what they're saying, let go of some things that maybe we believe that aren't quite correct, and yet did it with humanity without attacking the person. Imagine what our culture would look like, and there was an actual physical verbal response to that. You could just hear people say, "Wow, wouldn't that be a big deal? It'd be so different." And I think we all know that the bedrock of our culture is always the family. So it's got to start somewhere. So why not with our families? So what I want to do is give you a little outline. And then give you a chance, Michael, to kind of speak into some of that. This is from Warren Farrell again, your buddy, who says that one of the most important keys, which we would agree with, to building a strong family is the family meal. And he talks specifically about what he calls a family dinner time, which is a very specific, planned, purposeful meal. And so these are kind of the elements that he says need to go into this. The first is that you schedule it once, better twice a week. And the reason why you have to schedule it is because we're already overscheduled. And if you don't schedule it, it's not going to happen. His second point, and you've already said this, no distractions. TV is off. Cell phones are off. iPads are off. And even if a phone call comes, you don't answer it. And I've actually heard some people say, you know, if you have the cell phones on the table, the first, you know, the first person who answers the phone has to do all the dishes, or there's some sort of reinforcement that goes with not answering the phone. And then he talks about, you know, at some point during the meal, just have a check-in. How's everybody doing? Give everybody 2 to 3 minutes. Here's my day at school. Here's my day at work. Here are the things I'm thinking about. And then you sort of pick that topic, and it's going to depend on the age of your kids. It just may be, you know, your daughter said, you know, so-and-so was bullied in school today. And so you can talk about bullying and what bullying looks like. As kids get older, as you did with your kids, Michael, you can talk about politics, or you can talk about social issues, or you can talk about debates about male and female. Or as our kids are growing, to begin to talk about those important things like sex and about jobs and careers. And then he also has this little rule, no judgment. You can speak to issues, you can speak to arguments, but you can't make it personal. And I thought that was brilliant, because that's the one thing that we don't do, and you've already referenced that. We don't really argue points. We just lob insults at people and think that we've really scored some points when all we've done is we've just made enemies out of people. So that's sort of his outline for a family dinner night. And again, part of that is to build resiliency, to build good citizens. And that's kind of what your experience was, even though I'm not quite sure you necessarily said, let's schedule family dinner nights. It came sort of intuitively to you.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah. It just seemed to pass from generation to generation in our family, and I think it's in The Wonder of Boys. I have a section on that, of trying to get people to ritualize it, so they can protect it. And I think the research is right. And certainly my personal experience, it fits. When I think about how it got passed in our family down from generation to generation, I make jokes, like when you and I are together, you know, I joke about, okay, so I'm a good Jewish boy, in Jewish homes, there is a lot of debate, but not in every Jewish home. I shouldn't generalize, but there, I think some of it does come from that context of coming out of a Jewish home. And then of course, some of it is academics. My parents were academics. So of course, a lot of debate with academics. So I can't be exactly sure where it came from. Oh, I do have a memory of my parents. I think this is of my parents talking about the Kennedy family. It's, of course, not a Jewish family, a Catholic family, but talking about the Kennedy family and about how every Friday night they would, when those kids were being raised, they would have a debate or have a current events. I can't remember exactly when this was passed into me, but I think I remember that reference. So maybe some of it came from that. I don't know. I don't know where it came from, but Gail and I were very into it, and I think our kids benefited from it. And the plan that Warren laid out seems like a great plan to me. And I would just add maybe step six, which is that people are going to hurt each other's feelings.
Yes.
And so just make sure before bedtime, you know, to talk about it, just to not go to bed angry if possible.
So while this whole thing of about a family dinner is really ancient, it's sort of in our DNA to have meals together.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
For a lot of our young families now, it's kind of a lost art because we're so busy. Oh. So a couple things that I would just say off the top of my head, if your family is not in the habit of having meals together, I would start by saying once a week, we're going to have a meal together. It's always going to be this night, this time. And don't structure it. Just say we're going to have a meal together. You might take turns. You know, everybody gets to say, well, this week it's I want to have spaghetti. Next week it's the next person's favorite meal. And just spend the hour, the 45 minutes together talking. And if you want to do one intentional thing, maybe just go around and say, what's one thing you're thankful for today? As a way just to connect and center. And then just let the conversation go where it's going to go. When you feel like your kids are ready, then maybe try a second night. So two nights a week, you're having a meal. And one of them is, you know, we're going to just say, we're going to check in and we're going to listen to our kids. And if there's a topic at school or a topic at work or at home that we need to talk about, we're going to talk about it once in a while. And then as your kids get older, maybe it's going to be a political question or it's going to be a social question. But don't feel like you have to start and just have these big, deep conversations right away. Just start by having a family meal together and enjoying each other and living in the benefits of these rich conversations. And if there are grandparents around, as Michael said earlier, if there's uncles and aunts around, to have these big family meals, man, those are some of my best memories. Are having dinner at my grandma's house with our family, and sometimes the cousins would come over. I mean, these were just big free-for-alls, but they were so meaningful, so rich as a way for us to connect. And the other resource I would refer to people to, particularly if you've got sons, is Michael's book, The Purpose of Boys, where Michael has several different discussion starters in that book that you can talk about with your boys. And the best place to do that is over a meal. Boys talk well when they're moving. And I think boys talk pretty well when they're eating as well. Yeah. As we all do. Michael, anything that you want to add about family dinners before we wrap up today?
Yeah. I guess I would just add, I mean, everything you're saying makes great sense. And I would just add that if we need incentive, you know, what I find hard in counseling clients is they'll say, oh yeah, that makes sense. But then they'll say, well, but you know, my kids are in athletics. Yep. Or my kids are, you know, ABC. And I totally get that. And what I think is happening there is that they are thinking that it's better for the brains of their children, let's say, or for the futures of their children to be involved in all these things that may coincide with family time and therefore erase family time. And what I would say is that is likely incorrect. It's what's probably correct is that the family time is even better for the brain or for the growth or for the future of that child than is that night of soccer practice or that night of doing piano during that hour or, you know, obviously video games or social media or whatever it is. We may think those things are really great for the brain of the child, but not during that hour. Actually, it's the family dinner that's great for the brain of the child. And it's so multi-sensory and it's so multi-emotive that the family dinner is going to build a lot of the pathways that we think are being built elsewhere. And that's really, you know, what we're really about is protecting the brain growth of our children. So I would beg people to see that as incentive. And then if need be, you can't go to soccer practice five nights a week during that time. You're gonna have to tell coach, can't go five nights. That's too much. It's not right. I can only go three nights or four nights if it's during that hour. You know, making those decisions and supporting kids in making those decisions.
And this is where two old guys like us have something to say. You know, sometimes it's easy. I remember when I was a young parent and thinking, you know, these really old people in their 40s have nothing to say to me. And now I'm 60 and you're 60. So we're ancient, you know, we're barely able to get up in the morning, but we do have perspective. And part of that perspective is the one thing that we both know is how quickly childhood goes for our kids. And the one thing that we say when our kids leave to college is we don't say, I wish I could have driven them to one more soccer practice. It's, I wish I would have had one more meal with them. Oh, yep. I just missed that. So for whatever it's worth, two really old guys, ancient, decrepit, that's one thing that we can tell you from our experience of time. And now I see it with my grandkids. It is a second. It is a nanosecond of time. And what we want to do is we want to invest in the relationships with our kids. And that's where meaning happens. And that's how homes thrive. So, Michael, I'm going to give you the last word,
beautiful.
And then I'll sign out for us.
Nope, let's sign off. That was absolutely beautiful. Thank you, Tim.
So, folks, you can learn more about us on thewonderofparenting.com. That's our website. We want to encourage you to subscribe. And if you would be so kind, if you enjoy these podcasts, let your friends know about it. They can subscribe as well as can you, either through our website, wonderofparenting.com, or you go to the Apple podcast, you go to Google Play, and they have all the ways for you to subscribe to this program. We're looking forward to being with you again. We're going to, in the next couple of these, we're going to dive into some screen time stuff. And it's really important stuff. So we look forward to being with you again for the Wonder of Parenting.
Save big money at Menards. Add comfort to your life with Menards' great selection of Serta mattresses. Find the perfect mattress that fits your size and firmness needs. Hurry in today and pick up a Serta Gel memory foam mattress in a box on sale now through May 27. Take control of your comfort with Serta mattresses at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at